welcome to The Logstat, the Army's premier podcast on all things sustainment, where we analyze new developments, discuss current trends, and forge the path ahead for the next generation of sustainment soldiers. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Logstat. I'm your host, Captain Garrett Powell. We're in the hottest part of the summer season now, so remember to stay hydrated and eat well to keep your body fueled and also up to date with the weekly Logstat episodes to strengthen your mind and your sustainer toolkit. On today's episode, we're going to focus in on the sustainment pre-command course. While the audience for the course is lieutenant colonels and command sergeant majors, I highly encourage everyone to keep listening, as one day you may find yourself in this course. Even if you're just a lieutenant or a sergeant right now, this information will help prepare you for future leadership responsibilities. And with me today, to guide us through this conversation, I have the director for the Sustainment Pre-Command Course, Captain Misha Dantzler. Captain Dantzler is from Atlanta, Georgia, and commissioned from Jacksonville State University with a Bachelor's in Political Science pre-law degree in December of 2014, and is a Year Group 15 officer. She completed her platoon leader time with some XO time in the 129th CSSB of the 101st Airborne Division, then completed her XO time in the 7th GSB, where she also completed some time as a GSB S4. Following the career course, she was stationed at Fort Bliss, Texas, where she served as a SPO transportation officer and commanded the Hotel FSC of the 137th CAB and the HHC of the 47th BSB. Following her command time, she served as a small group leader at the career course where we first met and was then selected as the director of the Sustainment Pre-Command Course. It's hard to believe that it's been almost 2 years now since we both joined the Common Core team of the career course, and it feels like yesterday we were just joint teaching our first class together. So happy to have you on the show today. Misha, welcome.
Thank you, Garrett. I'm excited to be here. I really can't believe it's been almost 2 years since we started, but I'm excited to be here today. I'm proud of us both for where we are and looking forward to having this conversation about the SPCC.
So the thing, got here just almost 2 years ago, teaching captains, and now you're out here as a director of the Sustainment Pre-Command Course, dealing with colonels and command sergeant majors. So a little bit of a giant gap.
A little bit of a jump, yeah. But what you learn is that soldiers are soldiers, no matter at what level in their career they are. A soldier is a soldier is a soldier. And that's been one of the biggest things that I've learned since I've been the director at the SPCC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So excited. And I know a lot of people, you know, first of all, be like, what is the Sustainment Pre-Command Course? So before we start getting into all the nuances of it, like, can you just give us the down and dirty of what this course is?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's funny because I actually have sergeants majors and colonels and lieutenant colonels who will say, hey, heard I need to register for this thing. What is it? And so I'll send them the nice email on what my spiel is. But essentially, all of the branches have their own PCC. The Sustainment Pre-Command Course is the specific to our branch. It's no different. It's a 5-day course. It's designed to enable future battalion and brigade command teams to refine their knowledge and improve their ability to lead various tactical level organizations across the Army. I highlight tactical level leaders because up until last year, all of the sustaining commanders were CUM. But as of July, Major General Donahue signed an ETP that exempts our SDDCs, our depot commanders, our AFSBNs and DLA, those types of commands from having to CUM. They'll attend different PCCs. And this one focuses specifically on the tactical level commander. So it's a gentleman's course.
Okay, so I guess I kind of answered it. So we are now focused, this course that you are director of the Sustainment Pre-Command Course specifically is for tactical commands. Everyone else will go to a different one. They're still getting a pre-command course.
Yep.
It's just different now.
Yep. So this one specifically, we focus on those things that are going to be relevant really to the division level and below, and how we're moving forward. And the course is broken down kind of into three different concepts. So we have our building readiness, which is our current readiness, building future readiness, and then it's broken down into LPDs. And I can kind of talk a little bit more about that if you want me to.
Sure. I guess I'm a lieutenant colonel.
Yep.
I'm coming to this course. What should I expect?
Okay, cool. So building current readiness, like I said, there's a map, and Major General Donahue, when she kind of refocused this course, she had a very specific vision in mind. So building future readiness, current readiness, and the LPDs. So when we talk current readiness, that's where we have all of our commandants. We have our CASCOM team, which literally the entire CASCOM team comes down. All of G3, anybody who works in this building will come down and have a conversation, give a brief on who they are and what they can do. And then we have our data literacy, which is the up and coming thing in the Army. How do we use data? How do we use AI? How are we utilizing Power BI? So we'll have those teams come down and kind of talk through that. Our CAR teams. And then, of course, we have our CTCs that will come and talk. So that's kind of focusing on building that current readiness. And when we talk building future readiness, that's when we start talking FFID, SCDID, and so that's for our force development and sustainment modernization, and that's our heavy focus on building future readiness. What is the big thing right now? TIC, transformation
and contact.
And contact. Are we on 2.0 right now?
So, yes.
We're on 2. Yes. So that that is the big thing that those teams will come down, and they'll really just break that down for those command teams on how this is relevant to them, how the Army is changing, and how this affects them going into the position that they're in. And then, of course, LPDs. So I think one of my favorite things about this job is probably the LPDs that I get to sit in and just kind of be a fly on the wall and facilitate. But we have the Army G4, Lieutenant General Hoyle. She will come on with her Command Sergeant Major. We get to see the Army G3, JMC, AMC, DLA. All of these sustaining leaders will come and they provide briefs on, hey, what am I here to do and how do I affect you as the Army is transitioning? How do you reach out to me? How can I assist you? And then the other part of those LPDs are the panels that we do, which I think for the most part, when most students leave, they say that in their AAR comments, hey, those panels, you know, this was the best part of this was my favorite part of the course, because we do like a battalion and brigade command team panel, which allows seated battalion command teams and seated brigade command teams to come on and kind of give their spiel on, hey, this is how this is going. But more importantly, it allows the students the opportunity from the SPCC to kind of sit in and ask those questions that maybe they are, I don't want to say embarrassed, but maybe they are less comfortable to ask their peers or the person that they're replacing. So it gives them an opportunity to talk to someone and say, hey, what was the one thing you wish you could have done differently starting out? The cool thing about the brigade command team panel is that it provides that opportunity because we also have O6s in the class. So it provides that opportunity for them to have peer-to-peer conversations, but also for those O6s and their command sergeant majors to say, hey, for the battalion commanders, these are some of the things that I am looking for or would need more out of the battalion commanders that I, you know, that I'm currently working with. So the panels, then we have the CW5 panel. Fort Lee has the most CW5s I've ever seen in my life, like ever. So it's always cool to have them come down and just provide that insight. How are we supposed to work with, how are we supposed to utilize the warrant officers that we have? Then we have the Command Sergeant Major panel. And recently we started doing the post-KD captain panel. So that is my favorite. That's my baby. And it's just captains like you and I who have already done command and have the opportunity to sit in that room with these leaders and say, hey, these are the things that worked well for me as a company commander working with my battalion and my brigade command team. These are the things I kind of wish I would have had. And during the last class, looking through the AAR comments, a lot of the sergeants majors and battalion and brigade commanders were saying, hey, that was the most beneficial thing because that is going to tell me how do I make my brigade run? How do I make my battalion run by taking care of these company commanders? So, yeah, that in a nutshell is pretty much how the course is broken down.
So to touch on the post-KD captain, so is it the captains are one on the panel talking to the students? It's not them briefing the captain?
Yes. And so... It is. It is the captains who are on the panel and they are providing that feedback and allowing the opportunity for the SPCC students to ask questions. The first time we did it, it was a little rough because, of course, you have all these senior leaders in a room, and senior leaders love to mentor, and we all love that mentorship. But we kind of had to stop and pause and reset and say, hey, wait a second. That's not what this part of it is for. And once we were able to kind of reorganize it and give the floor back to the captains, it turned out really well. What we did for the second time that I hosted this panel was we took the first hour of it to do the actual panel with the captains giving that feedback and the leaders asking questions, which a lot of really great questions came out of. So we did that the first hour for that. And then there was an additional 30 minutes after where everyone could break off and kind of just have time to have conversations, get that mentorship, have those one-on-one conversations. And I found that that worked really well for everyone involved. So now not only did the senior leaders get what they needed from the panel, but the panel was also able to go and get that mentorship from those senior leaders in the room.
That was awesome. That is a unique opportunity, I mean, for both sides, mm-hmm. both for the captains, as well as the sergeant majors and the colonels to be able to interact with. So I think that's an awesome program that you guys have put together. And yeah. especially because I think as we all go up in rank, sometimes we lose sight of what it was like to be at a more junior rank. So I think provide an opportunity before they take battalion or brigade command, they'd be like, oh, this is these people who had just been in the fight,
mm-hmm.
they had just been in the company, and now I'm about to now go lead yep. Company commanders now. So it's a good way, I think, to build an opportunity for to have not just the networking that yep. you talked about, but be like, oh, it's been a while since I've been in command. You know, I was on staff for X amount of years as a major or as a lieutenant colonel or a sergeant major. So now it kind of brings you back, okay, this is what's working right now.
Yeah. And another cool thing that we do is the luncheons that we do. I can't forget those. So the SPC students, they have an opportunity to go have a lunch and learn with the Bullock students that are currently in class, the students that are currently in Captain's Career Course, and then the LNCOA. So they have these lunches where they're able to meet. Some of them are meeting the second lieutenants that are coming to their battalions and their brigades, and they're meeting the captains that are coming, and they're meeting the NCOs. One of my favorite lunches is the LNCOA lunch because we do this kind of a project with them where the SPCC students, they break down into their teams, they show it to LNCOA, and they say, hey, here's an idea that I have that I want to do when I take command or when I assume responsibility of this battalion or this brigade. And what I tell the ALC and SLC students is, hey, whatever plan they give you, you guys from that, you know, that senior NCO level, break that plan down. Tell them why it will not work, but also tell them why it's really good. Give them the positive feedback or give them the, I don't know if positive is the word, give them the honest feedback so that they can see from your level, hey, this is why this idea works or why it doesn't work, and this is how we can collaborate to make it better. So that's actually one of the really great things that I think comes out of those luncheons.
Yeah, I know as a, when I work as an SGO, it was always good to see the students because they were always like, oh, I'm going to go meet my battalion commander yep. before I'm even on station. Like, yep. this is someone so... That's an awesome opportunity because now you're building that. So it is, you're networking and you're building that relationship
yep.
even before you're in the seat.
Yep.
And you can start to, especially as a captain, you can start to understand, okay, this is how my battalion commander or my battalion sergeant major yep. or brigade level, this is what they're like. And this is, you know, this is how I can start to build that relationship. So I think that's an awesome thing that you guys put together.
Yeah. Thank you, Gary.
I was just thinking of, so you have lieutenant colonels and you have colonels mm-hmm. or command sergeant majors on both. So you're going there, if you're going as battalion command or brigade command,
mm-hmm.
say I did this course already and I did it for when I was a battalion commander. Do I have to redo it again as a brigade commander?
Yes. If you did it as a battalion commander or a battalion command sergeant major, you absolutely have to come back and do it again for brigade. And the only reason is that so much changes in that time. It's about, what, 5 or 6 years before you're looking at your next command slate. And even from one of the brigade commanders that was here last time, she said, I was just here 5 years ago and the course is completely different. Well, the course is different. The course is just different because the Army is different. And with us moving into, we're on Army, what, 2025, we're already working out of the Army 2030 plan, which really is Army 2040. Like, we're working so far in the future. So as a battalion or a brigade commander, if you've already attended the course, and sergeants majors, if you've already attended the course, coming back is a good opportunity just to reset yourself and catch yourself up on all of the changes that have happened. So yes, you have to come twice.
Okay, well, that's good to clarify, because I know there'll probably be some misconception, like, oh, I've already done the course already once, I don't need to do it again.
Yep, that information is completely different. You gotta come again.
So, which is good. I think you highlighted a great point there, is that so much changes. I mean, think about from when we went through the career course,
yep,
as students to where we were teaching the career course.
Absolutely.
Was so different.
Yeah, I was like, I don't even remember learning this when I was here 5 years ago, but okay.
So it's just a unique thing. Like, things do change. So get back here. Like, yes, you do it when you're at battalion level, mm-hmm, as a sergeant major or as a colonel, you're going to come back as brigade. So I think that's very good that you guys do that. And it's very critical because so much is always changing.
Yeah.
So I got to get, I know you've hit on now what the course is about, some of the good aspects of it. I guess if you could say, does it truly summarize, I know you've talked about it a little bit, why shouldn't I, as a senior leader, attend this course?
Well, as a senior leader, I think it's extremely important to come to this course just because we have some things set up for you to leave with. And that biggest thing is going to be that reach back capability. And any student who has been through this course, who was listening to this, probably just rolled their eyes at reach back capability, because it's one of those things that you're going to hear it at least 20 times in a day for each of the 5 days that you're here. But that really is the biggest thing that we're trying to send you away with, is who do I need to reach out to in any case, in any scenario that I'm in any region of the world that I am in, who do I call to help me figure out this problem? And so kind of sending you away with not only a contact list, but an understanding of how each of these departments work and what they can do to support you at the battalion or the brigade level, or even if there's a division level issue that you're kind of trying to help someone work through, you can say, hey, you know, G4 or whoever the case may be, here's the person at CASCOM that you can reach back to, or here's the person at FFID who you can call, or here's the colonel that runs the simulations program at Fort Lee. Call him because he can help you figure out how to run this warfighter or how to change our scenarios in the warfighter exercise. So that's kind of the biggest thing. It's come here so that we can teach you how to help yourself.
I mean, I think you just hit the nail on the head. It really is. It's about, with anything in life, it's building that network.
Yep.
You know, back in the day, it was you got to have your Rolodex full of all your cards, yep, and all your contacts. But that's so critical, because when you go into these positions, and you know, we can sit here and talk about, like, when we were in command, of like how important it is to have these people that you can reach out to, and
all these
mm-hmm resources that are out there. And that's what you're really getting out of this program. And I know you mentioned, I don't think I asked it, but so it's only a five day course.
Yeah, it used to be. It's funny because the ASU Commandant, Colonel Erickson, every time I talk to him about an SBCC, he's like, used to be 10 days. They're so lucky now. And it's just so funny. But yes, the course is only 5 days. We start every day about 08, and you are done by 1700. And that's a late day. The only day that's a little bit longer on the Mondays of SPCC, I throw a social at the CG's house, which her and her team are absolutely phenomenal for those socials. Really great food. All of the senior leaders on Fort Lee come, and that goes from about 1800 to 2000. But yeah, it's 08 to 1700 for 5 days.
Awesome. So, I mean, you get in here, you will get a great, great education, great networking. I really think that's, for anyone out there who's like, is about to come up to their window to take this, it's something really much to look forward to, because you really are building your Rolodex. Like, you're getting so much information. I know it's quick because it's only 5 days. You're just going to be, I know sometimes it might feel like drinking from a fire hose.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. That's definitely one of the comments. It's just like, oh, there's so much information. And I'm like, hey, take your notes, take your notes. But the cool thing is, with there being all that information, once you're on the Teams page for SPCC, you always have access to that Teams page. So every SPCC that comes through, the slide decks are uploaded from each individual brief with all of that information. And once you have come through SPCC, you can always go to that Teams page and look at not only your folder, but the future folders or the future classes that happen after you so that you can see the updated information. So yes, please come, please retain the information. But if you just cannot and your coffee is running low, you know, just you always have access to that page. And I'll have people who will email me and say, hey, I heard there's this team page. Can I have access? And I'm like, hey, there is this Teams page. Would you like to register for the class? Because if I just give everyone the information, then they miss out on the benefit of coming and actually having the week of SPCC. So no, you cannot have access to the Teams page unless you sit in the seat.
It's a reward.
It's a reward. Yeah.
Oh, man. So we were we've talked about like the great benefits of this program and the layout of it. So, and we kind of seem to be focusing on more on the COMPA 1 active duty side. Do COMPA 2 and 3, do they need to attend as well? Are they able to?
Yes. So absolutely COMPA 2 and 3 should attend. Based on 350-1, the Army National Guard is not required to come. But their tags are usually very supportive of it. And that's the thing. So if you are in if you're in the reserves, absolutely come. You pop up on our CSL, we can see you. You should absolutely come to the course. National Guard, you have to work through your tags. But they have been, like in recent classes, it's been the New York National Guard, the Minnesota National Guard, California National Guard have been sending a lot of their students or a lot of their incoming leaders just because they see the value in the course. There have been moments where there's been a disconnect for COMPA 2 and COMPA 3 where they're like, hey, this doesn't really apply to me. So what we're able to do in the course is we're able to say, hey, this is how COMPA 1 does this. Let me show you how this is connected to you as a COMPA 2 or COMPA 3 officer, especially with the way that our fight is changing and kind of how we're all going to have to work together throughout our COMPOs. It's a good opportunity for those leaders who see, hey, this is how COMPA 1 does this. So let me get a better understanding of this so that when the time comes, I already know how they're functioning. The other thing with COMPA 2 and COMPA 3 is at CASCOM, there are representatives. There's I want to say a full bird for each of the COMPOs that works up at CASCOM. And they're very tied into what is going on here at CASCOM and how that affects each of the individual states. So we have breakout sessions with our COMPO 2 and COMPO 3 students with the senior leaders here at CASCOM to kind of talk to them the specifics of, hey, this is everything that you're getting in SPCC. Here is why it is relevant to us in COMPO 2 and COMPO 3. Does that kind of answer that?
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's good just to highlight that just because I'm either in the reserves or the National Guard, mm-hmm. that I should still be attending this program. I know it's going to be, as you say, it might be a little more difficult for National Guard.
Yep.
But this is a great program. There's opportunities here to continue to grow and develop, even with you're in the reserves, National Guard, to get out there and take advantage of this opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And in the last three classes, I have had all national. I've had COMPO 1 and I have had our COMPO 2. COMPO 2. There has been no COMPO 3 and we keep looking for them. So COMPO 3, you know, our reserve officers, you all are more than welcome to come attend this course. I hold seats as the director. I hold seats to the side for every course for COMPO 2 and COMPO 3. So please use those seats. They're available to you all and they will stay available until you all are registered and ready to come.
Awesome. So I guess then the question is, what are the requirements to attend?
So the requirements are simple. The day that the CSL comes out and your name is on it, for a battalion, a brigade, command, you are eligible to come to SPCC. So for officers, you have to, for officers, you register through ATARS, but that ATARS reservation is made through your career manager up at HRC. So once the slate comes out, you reach out to them, they will handle that for you. And they're really great about it, really great about it. One of the people that I work with very closely up at HRC, Major McCray, he really takes his time in making sure that he is able to get the officers slotted properly to match their command dates or their assumption of commands. For sergeants majors and command sergeants majors, it's a little bit different. So you reach out directly to the SPCC director, which is currently myself. The slate comes out. You will send me an email. You'll say, hey, I saw that these dates are available for this course. I would like to attend this date. Here is my P Corps. Please register me. And I register you myself. The only difference is that there is not an ATARS reservation email that comes out for the sergeants majors because it's not an ATARS slot. The other thing with that is because sergeants majors are not being registered through ATARS currently, the funding for that has to come from the unit. So those are the main differences. Officers, ATARS ATARS slotted, our command sergeants majors, I slot you myself, and it is unit funded.
So one of the last questions I was like, so I'm looking like, oh, I just got on the list, so when are courses normally offered?
So we just recently went from 10 courses to 6 courses in a year. So typically the new schedule, what the new schedule will look like is October, November, which really is December because it's the last day of November. So let's say October, December, February, March, April, and May. So those will be the 6 classes that are available for SPCC. Currently, we have 26-001, which starts October 20th through the 24th. 26-002 would be December 1st through the 5th, and so on and so forth. So we've also upped the allocation of seats in those classes. So I think previously it's been 17. Now I have the capacity for 26 in each of those classes. So, yeah, the allocation has been upped on ATARS.
Okay, so, and I guess in essence, someone, because of the way the course is laid out, could start in the battalion or brigade as a sergeant major or commander, mm-hmm. already in the seat, and then have to come to the course.
Yes, so 2 cycles ago, I had one of my battalion commanders that was already 8 months into his time, and he came to the course. But it was good because he said he wished he had gone beforehand, but he still got all of the things he needed to be able to go back and kind of continue on. But yes, if you're already in the seat and you need to come, that's perfectly fine. For this October class, because we didn't have any summer classes, we have a few command sergeants majors and a few battalion commanders who will be coming a couple of months after they've already taken the seat, and that's perfectly fine.
Is there anything else you want to provide the audience with when it comes to SPCC?
I would just say come to the course. A lot of the emails that I get are, hey, do I need to come to this? Well, yes, you do. You should come. 350-1 says that you should come, but also there's so many benefits to it, and there's really a good opportunity for not only your personal development, but to build a network. And then, like I said, to take kind of build that toolkit of knowing who's who and where you can kind of reach out to for help. So definitely come to the course. I encourage you all.
And as always, I always like to give you an opportunity to like kind of give out some wisdom to the community, specifically to the sustainment community. Like, so what kind of advice do you have for us?
I would just say there is a lot changing, and I feel like I have a really good opportunity being the director of SPCC because every class I'm seeing, hey, this changed from the last class, or this update happened in the regulation from 2 months ago. There's so much changing. So I would just encourage us to be vigilant and to kind of stay on top of what it is that we do. We spend so much time focusing on our customer because we are wonderful as sustainers. We spend so much time focusing on our customer. I think it is important for us to kind of stop and just make sure that we're taking the time to look at what is actually going on in our own community so that we can keep up with that.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, this has been awesome today. Just a great conversation. So before we close out, if people have more questions for you, where can they find you at?
If you have more questions for me, I'm on Global. I am the only one of myself. So Misha.J.Dantzler. And also, if you are on ATARS and you're looking to register for the class, you're able to find me on there as I'm listed as the director. So my email, my phone number, my office phone number as well. All of that is listed on ATARS.
Awesome. Well, perfect. So definitely be able to, if you're out there and you have questions, be able to reach out to Misha. She's going to be able to provide you a great wealth of knowledge on this course. So if it's something that we missed that you have more questions about, feel free to please reach out to her. I want to thank you again, Misha, for taking the time to come in today, provide our listeners with these insights into the course. Not only will the students fill their toolkit with a variety of resources and understanding how to implement different programs at their units, but it's an absolutely amazing networking opportunity.
Yes. Thank you for having me, Garrett. This was great. I was nervous. You made this so easy. I love what you're doing up here. So thank you for having me.
That was very good. Thank you very much, Misha. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I look forward to seeing all the future students in this course, as you know, I am one of the briefers that comes in and talks to about the Harding Project, professional writing, and this podcast. So excited to see all the future students coming in, starting up here in October again for the year. But that is all we have today, folks. As always, Sustainment Leaders Start Here. See you next time. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Logstat. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Please share this episode across your formation and leave us a review. If you have a topic you like here discussed, then please reach out to us at armysustainment@army.mil or directly to me on Global at garrett.h.pyle. Follow us on Facebook, X, and LinkedIn at Army Sustainment. We'll see you next time. Sustainment Leaders Start Here.